Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I don't mind it being once a year. They suggested that this would have been a great minor league ballpark, and I'm saying No, we don't want games there all the time. Once a year, make it a big thing. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know as soon as I blurted out the way I just did, people are going to say, oh, it's the same thing with the Winter Classic. So, and they'll say it in that exact voice too.
I almost said it, but Duffer, it's the same thing as the Winter Classic. But again, if you're not into it, like if you're a Yankee fan, you don't care the Reds and the Cubs and the season they're having or playing.
Yankees played in it last year, dude.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you don't care about the Yankees, if you care about the Yankees this year and don't care about the Reds and the Cubs, don't watch the game. That's
Who
fine.
Cares it's about like the Reds winter... and the Cubs.
Huh?
Who cares about the Reds and the Cubs?
Well, exactly. They're having bad seasons, but I'm just saying, it's like the Winter Classic. If you don't care for the two teams that are in it, then you don't have to watch it. But those two regions, those two fan bases, it's a special event and they love it. Yesterday, tons of Reds and tons of Cubbies and tons of alumni, like Hall of Famers at the games being interviewed. Johnny Bench's interview in the booth was unbelievable, talking about how he was catching a game. This one pitcher, he said he wanted to throw curveball, and I'm telling him, stop wanting to throw the curveball. There's shadows on the field. We can't see the ball well. Don't give them an extra half a second to see it. Keep throwing fastballs because they can't see it. And he was talking about it. That was spectacular. If you're a baseball fan, that alone was spectacular.
Are you forgetting that he was a great analyst back in the day?
I never really got to see him or hear him as an analyst because growing up in Quebec, but John Smoltz had some really good moment talking about what it's like to be a starting pitcher and then what it's like to be a reliever. Obviously did both. Like there was a lot of good things about it. Big Poppy, I cried in the pregame because of the sight and the memories and talking about, playing catch with his dad and whatever. A-Rod said, I never played catch with my dad. So there was some really good moments in there. I really loved it. So if you're not a fan of it, then don't be a fan of it. But there's fans out there that like it. So that's why I'm saying, not to you, Duffer, to everybody else.
Oh, say it to me too. Does Big Poppy have to manufacture the tears every year?
Probably. Although he was going to give up $10,000 of his own money and this big, like, pick six. Yeah.
If it hits somewhere,
you get to pick how many home runs, the final score, how many this, that, the other thing. So they go to A-Rod. How many home runs do you think they're going to be in the game? He goes 8. I'm like, what? 8 home runs?
Well, because the Angels weren't playing in it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And neither were the Yankees.
Remember the Angels game recently? 7 solo home runs.
Oh, yeah. And they lost the game. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. But my point is that, I guess last year the ball traveled well. This year it did not. So if you guessed 8 home run, you didn't win 10 grand. That's for sure.
Well, so that went sideways right out of the blocks here. We got 5 minutes through and now we're maybe back onto the hockey page. But how are you feeling about all this talk right now? And that's all it can be because we're not living in the reality of actual training camp with preseason games and real NHL games, because the season does not start until 2 months from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Home opener with the Ottawa Senators in town. We will have the Prospects Challenge a month from this weekend. And yet with three recent picks from the Sabres at the World Juniors and the most recent development camp, and the hope that a lot of Buffalo's young players who got a taste of the NHL last year will have an impact this year. How are you kind of feeling when you lump them all together in the big picture right now for Buffalo? All, might I add, on the heels of building the pipeline, Sabres Embedded, which debuted last night.
Yeah, so I'll say this, though, Duffer, and, you know, this is the first summer that we are working together doing this show. Every summer, I'm feeling positive. I'm excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, we got great prospects. Oh, yeah, they're going to go somewhere. And that's not always the case, right? So do I think the Sabres have some really good prospects? Yes, I do. Is there some of them that are years away to still be prospect and then we'll know if they are rejects or if they're the real thing? Yes, absolutely. But I feel pretty good about the enthusiasm that I got and that I keep getting from the Sabres hockey department with their selection of players, especially in the top two rounds of the draft. I remember when they drafted J.J. Peterka a couple of years back, the excitement for J.J. Peterka was through the roof. It wasn't a first rounder. They wanted to get him in the first round. They tried to trade back in the first round. They got him in the second round. And I think that when I watched Embedded yesterday, number one, the excitement for Matt Savoy at nine was very evident that everybody was on board. The interview process, when they sat into the suite at KeyBank Center and talked to him, you could tell in Kevin Adams when he got to talk to Matt Savoy, there was an excitement there. I liked it. You know, Noah Osland.
Before we get to Osland, were you a little bit bummed that we didn't make a cameo?
I was absolutely extremely bummed.
I mean, the whole part with Savoy's boys walking the concourse would have been a nice ad, no?
I almost sent JJ, our former producer, JJ. He's now moved on.
We got to more Bill Hoppy in that episode than we did.
Scrum lurker Bill Hoppy in that episode was big time, like up to the side asking questions. Now, you were in the scrum. I was sitting at a table in the back of the room, kind of listening from afar, right? So that's what I was doing. But you're right. The Savoy boys, like his buddies in the concourse, I think that was the highlight of the night for me personally. We got the TVA sport guys making an appearance on the show, like when
Louis
they sent
Jean.
This. Louis Jean, exactly. He made an appearance. I'm like, wait a second. They could have, you know, maybe had a clip of you and I, maybe me with the hot dogs or something.
You know the old saying, what goes around comes around? This is all because you charge by the appearance. And they finally reached their max and they were like, we can't include Marty in this. He has appeared in too many of our productions this year. So
I charge by the appearances, man.
Come on. I better go back. Ignorance on this. Come on, Marty. We all know.
I didn't know my contract was working that way. I'm gonna have to go back and keep invoicing and go back to many other appearances. So, but anyway
we digress.
My point is, yeah. I totally agree with you. I didn't want to see myself on the Embedded, but I thought there was a couple moments either from our live reaction shows, the boys there, or even maybe, you know, a clip from Sabres Live there talking about some of the prospects in the second day or whatnot.
Chris Baker
was a star, by the way, with us, so I would have thought maybe Bakes would have made an appearance. No, I don't know, maybe those clips got lost or left on the cutting floor, as they say. Gotta
see Noah Osland now, as we get back to Embedded and building the pipeline.
So Noah Osland, what I took out of Embedded last night when they talked about him was his maturity level. And I understand that most of that stuff has been covered going into the draft or at the draft, but there's so many things going on at the draft or going into the draft or right after the draft, because free agency is about to hit. There's so many things going on that sometimes a lot of it get left on the cutting floor in my brain. And when I listened to Jerry and Kevin Adams talk about Noah Osland and his maturity level, I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, I remember that you know, he's not big. He's not fully grown into his body, but that his brain, his mind and maturity level of his brain, I'm going to repeat myself, but is something that really attracted the Sabres. So this is the type of guy that I think he's going to be a few years. He's not, you know, Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, JJ Peterka, Jack Quinn, Matt Savoy. He's not like coming in right in. I think it's going to take a little longer, but there's something really cool with him, I think, at the end of the road.
Well, one thing worth repeating that Austin discussed when he was here for development camp. The fact of the matter is, and by the way, if you were following along on social media in the last 24 hours, you probably would have seen highlights of his preseason hat trick overseas. Yes. As he plays not in the Swedish top level, but in the second division.
Yes.
So this is what he spoke of, and that was the likelihood of playing this year to try to get his club back into the top league, and then presumably having a year of competition in the SHL with a top level team. So you're right. Like, we might very well be looking at, now this is not in concrete, obviously, but it's more to paint the picture of, do not be surprised if we're talking about this diminutive in physical stature, Noah Östlund, arrive in 2 to 3 years and hopefully with a completely different, I don't know, package that is his game, you know, physical maturity and knowledge that will come from this.
Yeah. And listen, would most scout hockey department like their prospect to be playing in the top leagues in where they are from? Absolutely. Like, I'm sure the Sabres would like to see Noah Östlund play in the SHL, the Swedish Elite League, and perform. But we have to remember, last year he only played 11 games in the SHL. He had 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 points, barely played,
which is very common in a lot of the Euro leagues.
Absolutely. He mostly played in juniors. So to go from juniors to go up to the Swedish Elite League, I think is a big jump. For him to go juniors now to the second league in pros in Sweden is probably kind of like,
yeah, but let's we got to rephrase that a little bit, in the sense that let's not think of it as the second league, like NHL to AHL. We're talking about teams that got relegated.
Yes.
So it's completely different. Like, on any given day, these teams are the standard of the SHL. So
yes, but I'm saying it's almost like, okay, there's a league with the teams that made the playoffs and a league with the teams that didn't make the playoff, but it's still the NHL, right? So yeah. Buffalo wouldn't play Tampa, but they'd still play some teams that are on the up and coming, maybe got some new prospects, some new players, and they're trying to get back to the playoffs. So, but my point is also, there's a certain pressure to try to perform sometimes when you're at the top league and you're just a 19, 18, 19 year old kid, and you're not physically matured yet. Mm-hmm. That being able to take a big step, but maybe not a full-on step to the top, is good for his development. That's all it is. And I think that you have to deal with what you're being dealt. And mm-hmm. I think that that's going to be interesting to see how his stats show this year compared to what he was able to do in 11 games last year.
That's exactly right. You can only play the games that are on the schedule in front of you in the league you're in. You can't worry about what you can't control. Now, you're coming out of Embedded last night feeling, therefore, a tad even more optimistic about Östlund, just because of how he's viewed inside the organization. Clearly, my opinion, the most fascinating part of Embedded last night was the chase for Jiří Kulik after Östlund was drafted in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, so the Sabres, and this is Kevin Adamson, they tried to make trades with 6 teams leading up to them selecting Jiří Kulik. He slipped all the way there. Now, the interesting factor in all of this is that the Sabres had Kulik way up in their list. Mm. They were talking Östlund, Kulik, like at 16, maybe try to get to 17 to get Kulik right after. So the fact that they were able to get him at 28 was a big surprise. And I do see some of the things they discuss in the pre-draft meetings when I watch Kulik playing with Czechia at the World Juniors right now. A guy that has an incredible shot. Look, I laugh because when he scored off the face-off yesterday for Czechia, Jay Harris, producer of When Bills Live, but also part of the whole crew and studio, texted to our group chat and the old knuckle puck or whatever. I'm like, that was no knuckle puck, but I see where Jay comes from. But, you know, he's always got this great sense of humor, but that was a rocket to the back of the net. That Finnish goalie did not even flinch, did not even see it. It went in and out. Kulik has got a rocket of a shot. Now, one thing I didn't know about his game, Duffer, and I saw that more in the first game in the World Juniors, and that's how he got his assist, was a bit of a phantom assist. Maybe it hit him a little bit, is the way that he crashed the net. I saw him two or three times in that first game, like right on top of the crease, crashing the net, not playing the perimeter game with his shot, but mm-hmm. also getting in on it. So, yes, he is probably like Peterka was in that draft. Like they had drafted Quinn, Peterka was the guy that I was intrigued with. Savoy is great. Oslin is a longer term. Kulik is the guy that I'm really intrigued by where this is going to go. I think he's got a great tools skill set.
Now follow, as always, at Sabres Prospects, Chris Baker on Twitter, because you'll get, you know, the video of most developments involving Sabre prospects very, very quickly, and the terrific insight that we've come to expect from Chris. Kulik was talked a lot about in the embedded episode, just, you know, hopefully being a game changer as far as how he shoots the puck, how he becomes a next level goal scorer in the league. What's interesting in all of this, Marty, is contractually what Buffalo has done already. It's no surprise, even though the plan, the likelihood is Matt Savoy is going to play in junior hockey
yes.
this year. The fact that already, and it has been for a while now, Kulik, Oslin, Savoy all have their deals done.
Yes.
Which makes the Kulik piece to the story all the more interesting, because like the names we've spoken of earlier in the spring and summer, Isaac Rosen from a previous draft, Kisikov from a previous draft, Cederqvist from a previous draft, these guys are lined up to potentially play in Rochester. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Kulik somehow really forces a tough decision this fall and or does in fact end up in Rochester with this clearly young and evolving group?
I am going to say I don't think it happens this year. Mm-hmm. I think Kulik is still young, could take part of the World Juniors again in you know, the winter, because there will be another one in just 5 months from now, 4 months from now. Mm-hmm. So I think, for me, I see Jiří Kulik going back to Czechia in his development and, you know, just taking another step forward. I think it's very hard for 18-year-olds to come in the American League and being able to perform and continue your development. And you also have to consider that, look, he signed this contract, great, and he would be eligible for a slide if he did play in Rochester and did not play 10 games in the NHL. His contract would slide. So then it would be like a 4-year deal. And then the next year, it'd probably slide again. It'd be a 5-year deal, like Alex Nylander type situation. But I'd much rather say, let's do 1 year in Czechia once. Then as a 19-year-old, you can come in to Rochester, that contract slides, and then you have 3 years. So that's how I planned out the next 5 years of his development. Mm-hmm. Year in Czechia, year in Rochester, and then we'll see where you are for the future. Maybe it's a second year in Rochester at 20. Maybe it's right up to Buffalo. What's happening with the rest of the prospect? But I see, I mean, you talked about contract signed. The Sabres not only signed, you know, Kulik, Oslin, and Savoy this year, and Rosen, as you point out, but they also signed Bloom and Nadeau, Weisbach and Rusek. Like, there's a lot of prospects that have been signed. Like, when you look at the, usually, you know, you get, maybe you get seven picks, mm-hmm. three maybe sign, maybe four, like not all seven will sign. I think the Sabres have done a good job drafting, signing, and developing a lot of these players. That's why there's excitement about the pipeline, as they put it on Embedded last night, because of what has been happening and being able to work with these guys.
Now, just for the sake of clarification, if Kulik did find himself here in North America, either with the Sabres or the Amerks, he can still be loaned to the World Junior Tournament. So it wouldn't be, you know, closing the door on that potentially great opportunity for him. But the one of the reasons why I am pushing this out there, and again, these are not like me believing. You have to, you know, I ask questions for the sake of getting your response. Yes. And it's not based on, you know, insiders are saying he's got a really good chance here. What the driving force behind this is Kulik's words himself.
Oh,
after being drafted, like, what's your plan? To play for the Sabres.
To make the team. Like,
to make the team. And so in the very, very, very short period of time since, we've seen him at development camp and now a couple of games at the World Juniors. And let's just say he looks like he's on a mission, correct?
I think he is on a mission. He plays like he's on a mission. Look, it's only two games. Mm-hmm. And the meat of what is going to be the World Juniors for Jiří Kulik and for everybody else.
Imagine if he'd scored in the shootout.
Oh, which, like, he had, he had the greatest opportunity in the second period, maybe late in the first. He had a wide open net. The defenseman made a right leg save on it because Czechia actually went up 2-0. And then it ended up being 3-3 after Finland took it 3-2. Czechia scored again. Bit of a lucky bounce. But, yeah, I mean, I think Kulik is gonna get an opportunity now when this tournament kind of winds down to quarterfinals, semifinals, and this upcoming week, mm-hmm. to really show what he can do against top competition. And I'm really looking forward to that. Same with Isaac Rosen and Linus Jodin, who are all three Sabres prospect.
Yeah, the pronunciation on Jodin is going to be like a lot of players in the pipeline right now, up for discussion, debate, yes. And I'm sure a source of Twitter angst at some point in time. But regardless, yes, it's nice to see that the three are off and running at this current version of the World Juniors. So Kulik must be, and this is no surprise for anyone that comes from a European nation specifically. Soccer is, as we all know, just such an incredible global game. But Kulik clearly has it never far from mind. He said, we played a great match yesterday, and the shootout is just a lottery. Maybe in a soccer match we would have won. So we will see what Kulik can do. I'm just, you know, sitting here quite fascinated at the potential look, the diversity, if you will, from a nationality standpoint, to what the Rochester Americans might look like this fall.
I think that's very intriguing as well, because the Sabres 2 years ago drafted a lot of Russians. They have been drafting European players as well as North American, but there's a lot of guys that are coming from different backgrounds. And look,
just don't get them all that young in the same place right away, quite often.
I believe it actually builds for a stronger culture, character. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember coming in Rochester my first year. We had Václav Varada. He was, a Czech. We had Sergei Klementyev. He was Russian. We had older American guys. We had younger American guys, older Canadian guys. We had, from everywhere. Mm. We had guys from literally everywhere. And it really, really brings different element, especially back in the late 90s, like the training methods and the skill development, the skating. Like, you get to play with somebody from Sweden, and you watch them practice and you're like, wow, like, I love what they're doing. Something that you may have not learned that they've been doing for a few years, and vice versa. I think it helps. I think that's why diversity in a hockey locker room and on the ice really helps if it's used the right way.
And you mentioned Bloom and Nadeau just in your list there a while back of being signed, but as we know, those players are not in the conversation here, obviously, for the Amerks based on their status within the Canadian Hockey League and the junior rules and regulations. Okay, this has been already an unexpected, based on topics, Friday edition of Sabres Live. And the most surprising just happened in the last minute as you rolled out the name Sergei Klementyev. I was witness to his junior career with Medicine Hat.
Yes.
I was very optimistic that he was going to make it. What do you recall about Sergei? And is there a reason why he didn't?
I can't really recall the reason why he didn't. What I recall most about Sergei is pretending he didn't speak English because he didn't want to talk to the reporters. And we're like, dude, like, you've been around, like, for a while now.
Junior hockey in
exactly.
Western Canada. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like we'd be practicing at Genesee County, like, ice rink, because the first year, my first year in Rochester, they were still renovating the Blue Cross Arena at the start of the season. We didn't play a home game there for the first month or whatnot. So we had to go and skate at Genesee County Genesee Valley, like, ice rink, not far from downtown, the airport, whatnot. And reporters are asking to talk to Sergei Klementyev, and he goes, "Oh, me no speak English. Me no speak English." And we're like, come on, you're like telling jokes in the locker room, but you don't want to talk to the media. So that's that. I only played a season with him. And to be honest with you, that was a bad year for me. So I was enough worried about myself. I can't tell you why or why not he would have made it or not. But I do remember that he just didn't want to talk to media.
Yeah, I mean, so he was there in Medicine Hat. My first year in Medicine Hat, he had 16 goals, 42 points, 165 penalty minutes. And then the next year, 19 goals, 64 points, 146 penalty minutes. So you can understand in the junior environment how a player like this would really pop, right? Like, just involved in every aspect of the game. I mean, he went on to play, parts of four seasons with the Amerks, before eventually heading back home to Ukraine and spending – you know, the bulk of his pro career over there. He just he retired in after the 2012-13 season. But yeah, interesting name. Thank you for bringing it up. Definitely a flashback to a different time for sure. And, you know, we talk about bigger names right now that remain on the market. We've spent an awful lot of time, too much so, probably speculating on when Nazem Kadri gets his deal. What about the remaining restricted free agents who are significant names? It has been so quiet on that front. We'll dive in a little deeper as we continue Sabres Live on this Friday, right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Dominic, in my mind, was the best goalie I'd ever seen in high chance situations. Rebounds around the net, reactions to loose pucks, quick gloves, quick blocker, and the most creative thing I ever saw in a goalie was to drop his stick so he could use both hands to make saves, and nobody had ever done that. And when I'm watching that tape of the game in Vienna, one of the very first plays I saw in that early game was him doing two things. One, rushing out to get the puck and stop the play 50 feet from his crease. And the other was dropping his stick to make a save with his blocker glove and freeze the puck in the crease. And he just had that capability of accepting the role of, I'm the last man at the post, and they're not going to get a puck by me.
Thank goodness for Jerry Meehan's great interest in Dominic Hasek, how the franchise might look different without those Hasek years when he was, and in the eyes of many, still remains the greatest to ever play that position in the NHL. Jerry Meehan, from a perspective, quite frankly, no one can match. Part of the original team, a captain, and a general manager for this franchise who oversaw some of the greatest transactions in team history of massive name proportions. And Jerry joined us on Sabres Live Overtime this week. Check it out on all your favorite podcast platforms.
You know what was amazing with Jerry, and that to me is that we've talked about Scotty Bowman before and how Scotty has been able to stay current with the game, even though for many, many decades. Some people, and I hope I never turn into one of these people, is just you get stuck into an era and you believe that was best and your mind is just there. Jerry talking about analytics and saying, like, we used analytics back then. It was more simple. It was points, assists, plus, minus, whatnot. Now it's, but is I believe Jerry, oh, I don't want to say, I think he's 75, but I'm, could be mistaken right there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to be able to be current in what are tools to use now. And he said,
you're correct, it's because, by the way,
he is 75. He's teaching at UB and he still does some work with pro teams and whatnot, that he has to stay current. But I was impressed by the language and his analysis of what teams are doing now in 2022.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far down the path. I've just been reading, you know, as we kind of do every day, obviously, but just even more. And it's funny you use the word language there. There's a beauty in the simplicity that is the choice of the right word.
Yes.
To help explain things without making it too colorful and glossy and unrecognizable, quite frankly, for some people, they get lost in it. Analytics can be very simple. And this ties in with Sabres Embedded last night and building the pipeline and the wonderful piece that Matthew Fairburn wrote on The Athletic this week about the depth of Buffalo's analytics department and how they're utilizing it now, especially this year, beyond the actual NHL, AHL, but for draft purposes and how, you know, they're really getting a feel for being able to be confident in their model when it comes to making the selections. And
yeah,
before, the challenge has always been, how do you project 17 and 18 year olds as opposed to an NFL draft when you're getting pro ready young players? And so again, I thank you for using that word to describe Jerry's talking, because the more you read about this, the use of analytics, to a certain degree, the more frustrated and borderline angry I get at people that are so automatic to reject the word outright. They just bristle at the word analytics. And it's like, if you just took a step back and understood what it actually means and how it can help, someone's aversion to analytics is basically saying, I don't really want to do any research to make my team better. I'm just going to trust my gut and my instincts.
Well, I'll
you know
say
what I mean?
This.
Like it's that that's what's out there. And Jerry clearly has had this thinker's mindset. He's a brilliant mind. And I'm really fascinated by everything you've just said about
I talked about watching Field of Dreams last night and the great interviews they had. So they had in the booth Fergie Jenkins. Okay. Did not know who Fergie Jenkins is.
Greatest
pitcher
Canadian
for the Cubs.
Of all time.
Well,
baseball.
In baseball, yeah. And he was a Cubbies and he's a pitcher, and they put a bronze statue of him in front of Wrigley Field. And he's talking about, if you tell from the statue, I'm in a changeup because of my wrist and the handle on the ball. It's a changeup. I was throwing right there. And he's like, look, you got analytics and all of that. But I like how he's talking to John Smoltz, how you talk about, you know, different nuances in the game that players can approach the game in a different way. And then you back it up. And I think that's what Jerry was trying to talk about, too, is, look, we talk about plus minus, how it's a meaningless stat in 2022. But in 1992 or 1991 or in 88, plus minus was a stat you had to use. And Jerry says, look, if you guys scored 40 goals, but is minus 25, he's not good to you. Now, in 2022, we can find other ways to maybe see how good he is or not. But back then, that's what you relied on, and that's what it was.
But it wasn't the be-all and end-all, and I think that's what I think it was Jerry's entry into the discussion, and what a simple statistic, so to speak, like plus-minus meant was, and clearly Jerry talked about doing the work then, you could go from that and dive deeper into the videotape to see why. And that's the whole point of this,
yes,
is to keep asking yourself why. So you don't have to believe that plus minus identifies clearly a player's greatness or lack thereof, but it can cause you to want to do further investigation. And, you know, so that was absolutely.
Again, and listen to the interview, because there's so many things I want to bring up from the part of the interviews.
I know.
Like watching videos, how they would have to watch the whole game to find one clip. But like that part is so funny, because they probably spend so much time in their offices trying to find little things where it's so easily accessible to anybody now. Mm-hmm. To anybody. I can go on Google and put in anything like Yuri Kulik's goal, in World Juniors, boom, the video's there. I can see his release. I can see three angles of it. It wasn't like that in the 90s, that's for sure.
Well, as we mentioned, Jerry Meehan had a lot of work to do during his time as general manager from 86 to 93. I wonder how he would handle what Dallas is facing right now. Oh. And that is the biggest challenge remaining among any of the 32 teams with multiple restricted free agents. Here we sit with Jake Oettinger and Jason Robertson, and depending on the deals that they sign in Dallas, they're either going to be below the cap, at the cap, or well over the cap if they ultimately go long term and big money with these two guys. So let's keep it on Oettinger for the moment. You know, I went, because again, we're fascinated where the Sabres are at with their hope in the goaltending that they have this year in Comrie and Anderson, and time will tell whether it plays out. Dallas has been in a completely different cycle. They've had injuries to veteran superstars. Mm-hmm. They've had short-term, really good goaltenders like Braden Holtby not be able to finally deliver at the end because of injury. Also, you had the unexpected run of Hudobin going to a Stanley Cup final and then replaced quickly on the depth chart by others. That includes first round pedigree in Jake Oettinger. And yet here we sit contemplating, What is the next step for Ottinger, who doesn't turn 24 until December? There are very, very, very few comparables his age right now in the game with his games played. So do they make the leap and all of a sudden put him into the stratosphere, which isn't particularly high, quite frankly, of Shesterkin at 5.6, of Demko, who's at 5 million, at Sorokin, who's 4 million. You know, like, where are they going to land with a guy who has 77 games played under his belt, but that 77 doesn't include the unbelievable seven-game series he posted against Calgary in the playoffs?
Yeah, so his regular season played a lot of games, 48, I believe, but it was the playoffs that really put Jake Ottinger on the map. And I think he started the season not knowing where he fit on the depth chart. And then by the end of the year, you're like, he's a stud goaltender. Went toe-to-toe with Calgary and Jacob Markstrom in, you know, game seven, you know, low-scoring affair, and it went Calgary's side. But the different and the difficult thing to assess when it comes to Jake Ottinger is not so much where I think his talent is what his value for the next contract is coming out of entry level. You know, like, I would say the bare minimum for me, you have to compare to Carter Hart. And Carter Hart was coming out of entry level deal. Carter Hart signed a 3-year deal at 3.9 plus. So just a tad under 4 million a year. And now Carter Hart is like, oh my gosh, we're paying this guy 4 million and he's lost his game and we got to recover. Now Philly and the team and what they've done, gone through, may not have helped Carter Hart. But so that is the gamble that the Dallas Stars have to take right now. You talk about Thatcher Demko. Demko, after his entry level deal, not having played a lot in the NHL, signed a bridge and then went to 5 million. Shesterkin's the one that jumped right from entry level to boom, next star. But the Rangers knew he's a superstar. But again, that could have backfired.
But even so, 5.6 is such a good number.
He won the Vezina this year and was on Hart, you know, MVP ballots, right? So that is obviously a bargain when you consider Vasilevsky, Price, guys making $8, $9, $10 million. Yes, 5.6 is a bargain. And you also have Igor Shesterkin now for 3 more years at 5.6. So that is where, well, he's going to cost you $12 million after he's done with that. And in the summer of 2025, it's going to cost the Rangers a lot. But so I would say Jake Ottinger, from what I project his talent and what he can do in the crease for Dallas and the amount of games he can play, to be in the $4.5 million range. I don't think they will go out and give him Igor Shesterkin money, but it could be. Maybe they give him that money over 5 years. Maybe they say, hey, we're going to buy you 5 years at 5.5. Boom, there you go. Mm-hmm. But if it is going to be a bridge deal, like a 2-3 year deal, I think it's going to be between 4 and 4.5. It can't be below Carter Hart. It can't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hate to use the word can't. I mean, Georgiev has played almost twice as many games and gets 3.4 times 3, which I'm sure Dallas is looking at. Kakinen is on his third contract now, and as a 2.75, and, you know, pretty darn good when it comes to quality starts above the 900 save percentage. It's a fascinating short list. And it leads us to a dis or dat, which will open us up to more dis or dats. What is the more pressing / challenging contract hurdle for Dallas right now? Jason Robertson or Jake Ottinger?
I would always think that as your goaltender is probably the most challenging for them to be able to get. I think with Robertson, you can probably find some comparables and a bridge to say, hey, let's go 2 years with good money. And then maybe in the 3 to 4, well, maybe more. I mean, Robertson last year was
41 goals.
You're right. Maybe you got to go more. Can I sit what, on the
answer,
fence on this one?
Answer
can
it I after sit the break. Yes. We're going to roll in with that in its conclusion and more. This or that straight ahead on Sabres Live.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And now the conclusion of the Dis or Dat question. Which contract is more of a challenge for the Dallas Stars right now, Jason Robertson or Jake Oettinger?
I'm going to still stick with my goalies and Jake Oettinger because I think the comparables are hard to match. Jason Robertson, you look at Matthew Tkachuk's bridge deal after he had 34 goals, 77 points or so, 3 years, $7 million. I think that's going to be ballpark for Jason Robertson.
All right, more Dis or Dat. Better goalie pad setup, Logan Thompson in Vegas or Straussman San Jose?
Okay, I'm going to stick with Logan Thompson. I think clean, sharp look. He's got a home and an away set. I really think this is nice in Vegas. Straussman has the Sharks logo. Well, not the Sharks logo, but the Sharks, like, teeth bite and the whole thing. It looks really good. But I'm maybe a little favor of the gold of Logan Thompson, and I like Logan Thompson.
Most overused or more overused emoji, the unicorn or the goat?
Okay, the goat, because I always thought of the goat as being the bad, like your hero to goat, right? Like, that's bad. And every time I see the goat emoji, I'm thinking, oh, somebody did something bad. And when did it ever change from best of all time to greatest of all time? Because in Rocky II, Apollo Creed gets on the ring and they say, best of all time, best of all time. Like, when did it change to greatest of all time? Really?
I don't know. Have you consulted Wikipedia on this matter?
Not yet. No.
Okay. That's usually the source. All right. I'm going to fast forward right to the end because visually this works better for MSG. Apologies to those on WGR. Better headshot, DJ Dallas or Brandon Tanev?
Okay. So I'm going to say DJ Dallas, and people don't know, the Seattle Seahawks player recreated the, I saw a ghost Tanev look, but he's very, very clean in his look. Tanev was a little bit all over the place. So I'm going to say DJ Dallas.
All right. Plans for the weekend?
Yes. Going out to the barn with my kids. So I'll see you Monday in Rochester for Rochester Americans Golf Tournament.
Sounds good. See you then. Sabres Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.